Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, a very interesting night for us tonight, and that is because we have a big show lined up for a big surprise. We're hoping to be on the leading edge of a big story. The big news, I guess, around the CFL is that the Argos are still around. I heard they were disbanding. They were going to get rid of the Argos. The Argos were leaving because people weren't interested. Now, what's that silence I hear? Oh, wait, a couple of heart attacks just happened. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Come on, the Argos are just fine. We know that the CFL is going to have another team in Ottawa. That's a good thing. We know that Montreal has signed Arlen Bruce, if you can believe that. They've signed Arlen Bruce to a long-term contract. Ottawa has a general manager. They're still the whatchamacallits because we don't know what team they are. Calgary has made some moves as well. So the CFL is still busy this time of year, but the biggest story that we have for you we're going to cover today, I'm going to bring John Granger in, and we're going to have some fun talking about a bit of the history of the CFL's 100th Grey Cup champions, the Toronto Argonauts. I heard a rumor. John's here to help me understand the rumor better and the history behind why the rumor may exist. John, come on in, boy.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm not doing bad. You know how life is, right? When it rains, you don't want to be a cloud, right?
Oh, I think that we heard that on that Volkswagen commercial, the bug commercial. That's right. But a good point there, Frank. Good point. You want to lead into it right away? Is that what we want to do here?
Well, you know what?
Okay, well, Frank.
We can talk about a couple of things, and I think the most important thing to talk about right now is basically the Argos and what's going on with the Argonauts.
Well, they got two new defensive coaches. That's what's going on. And I know you were just kidding, right? With
about
your lead
what?
Off about the Argos leaving or something? What? Yeah, I think that's a panic breaking the news there, Frank. I don't think that was the... I almost had a heart attack. I thought, what happened? Was there something I missed today?
You missed it, all right.
You.
But that's okay. You caught it through again.
Well, as far, you know, I kind of can't keep my mind off what I want to break tonight. I'm still waiting for some other things regarding the Argos. Is the signing, of course, of Cackard, which we're going to see how that plays out. But I feel confident that... you know, Jim's going to do the right thing and work something out with him, and hopefully, you know, we can settle that with Chad. And as far as our defensive coaches that have been hired, you know, I think they're going to do well. You know, we got Chris Jones here, who's the leader of the pack here, so I kind of feel confident with that too, Frank.
Absolutely. Chris Jones was extended earlier. The good news is that he's staying. Except now, there's word out that Montreal wants to talk to our special teams coach.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
The other person.
There you
go. Well, I don't blame them, okay? I just don't see that happening either. I think if he didn't want to go to Hamilton and take any opportunity he had there, I think he knows where the champion's going to be next year, Frank. So anybody with... with kind of the foresight that our coaches have. They know the best thing for them is to try to do a repeat.
Absolutely. And well, you know, when you've got a good crew together, you want to run with it a little while. Basically, what we saw in Montreal was the group ran for a while, and then what happens is, you know, the lesser lights would like to step up, you know, and essentially what happens is once it becomes a domino thing, you know, and Tressman left, and then all of a sudden everybody kind of left. I joke about the last person, please turn off the lights, because quite frankly, Montreal was abandoned, and hopefully that franchise will recover. They're signing some pretty good players like Arlen Bruce, you know, to long term for the CFL contract. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're trying to make their move.
Well, everybody's trying to make their move right now. It would be a little bit deflated if I was Montreal. You know, they've always had stability there. And, you know, Calvillo is still there, so they have that quarterback stability. But a lot of the management that I thought was pretty vital in their organization, you know, as we know, have moved on. So if I was an Alouettes fan, you know, I'd be a little bit concerned.
I would, too. Some other news that's going on. We all know that by now everybody knows that Desjardins was named general manager of the Ottawa CFL franchise, which doesn't have a name yet. But we also have another rumor that we're proposing, and that is that the name will be the Red Blacks. Right? I mean, I think that's what I'm hearing, is that the Red Blacks will be the name of the team.
Out of the four options, you know, that's the only one that kind of makes any sense to me. Okay, if you had to choose out of the four that they kind of put out there right now. I don't think the Ottawa natives themselves really want to go back to Rough Riders. I know it's tradition, and you like it too. But you have to understand, living in Ottawa and always being kind of the brunt of the joke on Leno, even going back to the Carson days, anytime, you know, we had John Candy or Steve Martin, or not Steve Martin, but Martin Short on a talk show, they would always bring up the CFL because Martin Short's a big Ticat fan. And then they will also kind of mock the fact that there were two teams that were called the Rough Riders. So Ottawa fans, you know, maybe the other fans in the CFL would think, well, it's great, that's what we kind of like, having the two different names. But perhaps, and obviously Ottawa natives don't like it because they're, you know, looking for another name. Otherwise they'd be crying, let's bring back Rough Riders. I don't see Ottawa fans and CFL fans there demanding to have the Rough Rider name back. I see a lot of other people outside of Ottawa talking about it. But as far as the four options, you said it. The one you just mentioned, I think, is probably the best one.
Yeah, and it does have some history. I looked into it a little bit deeper, and it has to do with history in Ottawa. You know, the Guard. You know, so basically they're kind of getting into the same kind of thing that the Senators did. You know, with calling the team the Senators, right? The other thing. The specific men that were hired today are Filion Brown as part of the defensive coaching staff by the Argonauts. Two guys with a lot of experience, John.
You said it, Frank, and you know, the experience is going to show depending on what they can do with the guys in the field. So I love, you know, coaches with experience, but every team is a new team, a new, you know, chemistry that you have to deal with, you know, different city. So you can have one of the best coaches that's been really, really good in other cities, but, you know, he comes to Toronto and sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, the players might have a different mental attitude. But, you know, I got to tell you that Toronto Argonaut players, all kind of blue-collar attitude guys, really personable, and so are the other CFL players in the league. But in Toronto, it takes a little bit extra because we're kind of always put on the spotlight here, if they're ever given a spotlight, you know, once in a while. But a lot of character with all these players. So, yeah, Frank, I totally agree.
Larry Taylor's been re-signed by the Stampeders, their kick returner. You know, he didn't quite have the same numbers as Chad Owens, but he had some interesting numbers, ones that gave him an opportunity to be signed again and continue with the club. You always like to see players re-sign with the same team if you're trying to move up in the ladder. Consistency is something that breeds, you know, success. A lot of teams go through a lot of changes. I think this year we've got probably the two teams, John, that are making the biggest change are going to end up being probably Montreal and Edmonton.
Okay, with the new quarterback that Evans got from BC.
Yep.
The biggest changes, yeah, I can see that. I kind of would put the Ticats in there too, you know. Maybe not as much as player changes because, you know, they're not moving their quarterbacks or anything. But, it's a lot of new things going on in Hamilton.
Absolutely. Well, Hamilton, we've discussed over the past few weeks that that they probably will go into rebuilding mode. They've got I consider this a throwaway year for them by virtue of the fact that they're playing in Guelph. Not that, I mean, you don't want to be a Hamilton fan and hear that, but you know what?
Can I interject a little bit?
Sure, go ahead, please.
Right, can I interject? Sorry, speaking of the Guelph situation, I heard something else and I read it and it was been posted on a couple of fan pages. The Labor Day game, it turns out that it might not even be played this year between the Argonauts and the Ticats because of the scheduling problem. The Blue Jays, it seems, that are again coming into play here because they're playing the day before the Labor Day game, and what I hear is that they don't have enough time in between the two games to do the transition from baseball to football. So,
wow.
And Guelph is not prepared for it. This is why I was a little bit shocked when I heard that. And I was hoping, as you know, we talked about this before, hoping that the CFL schedule was going to be coming out today, and which would lead into our story that we're going to talk about a little bit later on, where I could have more or less got some official confirmation. But I will be talking about something regarding the Argonauts that has been confirmed from three senior CFL sources. In regards to the Labor Day game, that's going to be a tough one if they don't have it. I mean, literally, I just don't understand the Rogers Center and their management kind of doing this in a way. They have to work something out. They should have pre-planned this a long time ago. And again, it just shows us what kind of secondhand treatment that we get from the tenant there. It's just something I'm going to be shocked if the Labor Day game doesn't happen.
Well, you know, to have that kind of, well, I mean, let's.
You know what else I'm shocked about? Frank, you know what else I'm shocked about? We're talking about Guelph here. I'm shocked that no one's bringing up the fact that a local university, McMaster, rejected the Ticats from playing in their stadium because they said that it would interfere with the, you know, the neighborhood on game days. Well, you know, they have interference from the fans that come to their university games also. So I just don't understand how nobody, especially from the Ticats fan end of it, hasn't brought that up and hasn't made a big stink about it, because I certainly would be upset if, you know, U of T was our only option to be able to play in the city and they rejected us. You know, I would be kind of upset.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm just having a little difficulty because I don't know all the facts as far as McMaster is concerned. They are worried about the neighborhood. They already have enough games being played, John. I would look at it as an add-on, and I think you and I both know the Hamilton fans are not quiet. You know, compared to the McMaster fans, they're going to bring on a little more excitement, if you will.
Well, Frank, yeah, you know, McMaster fans are pretty rowdy themselves, okay?
Absolutely,
I think
absolutely.
It was just because it would flood, obviously it would flood the neighborhood with probably about 10,000 more, if not more, because it's local in Hamilton. It would just maybe be a little bit overbearing for them. They would be able to handle it. But I just can't see why they wouldn't kind of try to work something out where these poor guys don't have to, and I'm talking about the Ticat fans, don't have to drive and bus it, you know, all the way to Guelph. I didn't get that. When I heard the news about that, it just still kind of, I don't know, it bothers me. Anyway, it bothers me because now we can't go to Hamilton, and now we have to drive to Guelph to see the Argo games. There,
that's
so.
The real reason why you're complaining.
Yeah, okay, you got it out of mind. It's the real reason.
That's the real reason why you're complaining. It's too much work for you.
I didn't want to say it, Frank.
Well, it doesn't matter. You don't drive anyway. You're just going to sit in a bus.
No, what's market different? Drives, right, you're right. Oh, actually, you're right. We take the buses down, too. So
you
got it. I know. So you're going to say we have more time to be festive on the bus. Is that what
you're
saying?
There you go. Lots of festivities on the bus. And Guelph's a nice place, by the way. I've worked there, so it's not a bad place to be. All right, that's it for CFL football for now. But we're gonna go on now to the National Hockey League. We'll come back to specifically the Toronto Argonauts and John's little send off message for everybody. I'm really thrilled to hear about it. I have some inkling as to what it's about, and we'll get to that in a little while. Well, let's see. Maybe you want to go to National Hockey League. You know what? Why don't we take a break first, and then we'll go to National Hockey League. Okay, John?
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it!
You're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show on Blog Talk Radio. I've got an invitation for you. You ever been to a game with a bunch of rowdy people who push the envelope of decorum at the Rogers Center? Well, I open an invitation to you to join the Argo Lifers. That's right, Section 134. Call the Argos. Tell them we sent you. Could mean something interesting for you. Okay, you got that? Section 134. Call the CFL's Toronto Argonauts and join us, the Argo Lifers, where mayhem is fun. And by mayhem, I mean standing and screaming on defense, sitting with your hands on your lap in offense. Let Ricky do his job and let the defense do theirs. Be a part of the winning team. Section 134. Let the Argos know. And welcome back. Next, I guess we'll talk about hockey. There's some interesting stories in hockey. There's still a discussion that the Phoenix Coyotes are still not sure they have an owner. How many years do they have to? It's been, what, 3 years that the National Hockey League has owned the team, and they can't find somebody to buy the team?
Yeah. Yeah. Phoenix. I mean, I think Bettman started off with not wanting to have another embarrassment on his hand with Phoenix by trying to save them, because he pushed it so hard when they moved from Winnipeg and wanted to make it so viable down in the south, in the desert, you know, where they all said that, no, I don't think we don't want it. But one big owner laid out a big fat check, and the arena signed on, and the owner signed on, and the guy signed out a couple or a few years later, okay? So rather than kind of making another failure be so noticeable, Bettman decides to say, we got to save this franchise. It has to stick around. We'll find somebody. It's going to work some way. Well, Frank, it's still not working, and nobody really wants it. No one's going to get it at a bargain. You know, they had the best marketable person, Gretzky, as their front runner of the franchise, and they screwed that up too. So I feel sorry for the players, because you never know when they're going to have to pack it up and leave. You know, it's not that kind of thing where you want to play for a franchise where you can't move your family to. So, you know, Phoenix, I feel bad for the fans. They're being toyed with. But as far as anything else regarding Phoenix, good luck to them.
Well, you know, it's a great place, actually, once you get there. It's a great place to raise your family. The weather's great. You can play golf all year round. I mean, you're in the desert, so you're not dealing with snow if snow's not one of your favorite things. So it does have that kind of appeal. The Montreal Canadiens finally signed P.K. Subban. And some suggest that the signing that he did was kind of a little undervaluing him. I don't know that that's true. The kid's only been in the league for less than 3 years. You know, he's done well. These long-term contracts, I'm almost embarrassed to see how much they pay some of these guys. How about you, John?
Well, you know, it's what the market wants to pay. You don't see the fans staying away because they're saying it's too much. So it's demand, right? In regards to Subban, it just shows his character. If he even signed for after being, you know, hearing the rumors that he's being undervalued, and he still signed for the under so-called valued price, it just shows his commitment for the Montreal Canadiens. You know, props for him.
That's right. He deserves a lot of credit. A goaltender problem for the Leafs. Is there a goaltender problem? It appears that Reimer has found a little groove. You think he'll stay in that groove?
You know, with the Leafs and the goaltending, the best thing I like about this is that I don't think any of these goalies really have the pressure like the previous 3-4 years that we've always kind of stuck one guy out there saying he's the marquee guy. We don't know between these two who really is going to be the starter, do we?
At this point, it's Reimer, but you're 100% right. That could change as early as the next game. They're young. They need an opportunity to develop and develop some experience. Unfortunately, it's going to be a baptism under fire. That's the
True.
Only problem.
I like the under fire, what they were like against Washington the other night, so I'll take that every night.
Absolutely. They played a really good game. And the Leafs have won two in a row now, and they're in a playoff position. And you can't say it's too early in the season because there is a really too early in the season right now, ever.
Yeah. We'll be right now, what, three quarters over?
We'd be past the halfway mark. I think late December
is
the halfway
right.
mark. But regardless, the point is they're only playing half the games they normally play. So they're half the season's already gone. So to your point, they're in the home stretch. It's that simple.
Okay.
Except they're all starting at the same spot.
You got that right, Frank. I kind of wonder what Burke is feeling like these days right now, because the team's not looking too bad.
You've got Kessel, who hasn't scored a goal yet. You've got rumors that the Leafs are shopping him around because he's got 1 year left on his contract. And they'd like to see what they could get for him and make a decision if they're going to sign him. And I think that looking for what they can get for him, they're going to make sure he quietly is going to realize that he's not worth that much anymore. The Leafs overpaid for him. Burke, in particular, overpaid for him. It's quite clear. The Boston Bruins have three players. Two of them are blue chippers, you know, and from the three drafts that draft picks that the Leafs gave the Bruins. So the Bruins themselves have become a monster of a team with the help of the Maple Leafs. How the Maple Leafs suffered, it helped the Boston Bruins get better. And a lot of Boston Bruin fans are very grateful to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't even want to think about that trade, Frank. It still rubs me the wrong way. I love Kessel's. He's a hustler. He's a grinder. And it's just not working out. I mean, you hear that story in Toronto a lot, don't you? Where we got guys who have a lot of potential, we're stars on other teams, and they come here and they just for some reason can't get the wheels going.
Well, you know, he does score in bunches, and Leaf fans hope that bunch is just around the corner. On the subject of goaltenders, you've got to admire the Ottawa Senators. They last year were not supposed to go anywhere. And then they went the deepest in the playoffs of all the Canadian teams. And at the beginning of the year, they weren't given a chance to even make the playoffs. And the guy to me that makes the biggest difference has to be Anderson in goal. This week, he was one of the NHL's three stars. Now, this is a guy who definitely had, in Colorado, definitely had a good reputation. Was playing well in goal, and then he was traded to Ottawa, and he had a really horrible start with the Ottawa Senators. This year, off the hopper, he has really marveled a lot of people with his play. And you know, that's what a goaltender does for you. Ottawa right now is near the top, and it just so happens their goaltender's playing on his head.
He's doing really good, Frank, and he's not getting any recognition for it. It's because of Spezza and being injured right now. He's getting kind of all the headlines, and they're worried about their offense perhaps sputtering a little bit with him being out again. So, yeah, you're right. Anderson has been a gem for them so far this early start. But then again, we hear this story with Ottawa all the time. It's always been a goaltending issue there too. They have their run where their goaltenders stand out, and they really do a great job. And for some reason or another, the flame and their goaltending qualities kind of fizzle out eventually. So I'm just going to see how it happens with Ottawa. I mean, I'm not really following them that hard, but it's hard not to notice them because they are playing really, really good hockey lately. So, but you're right about that. Anderson has really has done a great job so far.
You've got Winnipeg. Not much to say about them. They're sort of the middle of the pack. The fans are not impressed with the team, at least from the beginning of the season. Then we move a little further west, and we have the two Albertas, the two different stories. You've got the Calgary Flames that are, their noses are being pushed into the floor. They're the very bottom of the league in the Western Division, that is. And then you have the Edmonton team, the team of the future, the team that everybody's waiting to break out. Right now, they're near the top of the standings. It's early, but then again, you know, they can get on a run, and it can be pretty interesting. And if they get hot at the right time, they could make the playoffs, and they could do much like what Gretzky did in Edmonton many, many years ago. You know, they upset the Islanders. Maybe that's what Edmonton's future is in the playoffs. They're going to take on a team that should win and take them out. And you got to really be happy with that team. If you're an Edmonton fan, the patience, I suppose it's easier to be patient in Edmonton than it is in Toronto. But, you know, really, that's what Burke didn't do. Burke didn't hang on to his draft picks, didn't go with the draft. And Edmonton played the playbook that supposedly Toronto was going to play. And, you know, kudos to Edmonton. It's a really easy team to like, isn't it, John?
It's an easy team to like. Again, a blue-collar team, if you want to call them that. They kind of surprised me last night playing San Jose in a really, really tight game. It was a 2-2 draw until, you know, late in the third, and San Jose took the 3-2 win. But I was betting on them to win bigger, San Jose I was, but it surprised me. Edmonton is really playing good. And the thing I'm surprised is I've watched the first couple of games that they played at home, and not so good. But they go on the road, and it's like, well, who is this team? You know, so you really don't know how to bet Proline with them.
And I know that matters to you. One last team I want to talk about before we get out of the hockey segment, of course, is the Vancouver Canucks. The Leafs supposedly were going to trade for Luongo. Vancouver supposedly had a goaltender in Schneider. That plan went out the window pretty quick, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and I kind of like Vancouver's position right now, because Luongo's been playing really, really good. I mean, perhaps not his first game out, he didn't, but, you know, he's been standing out in the last couple of games. And is the pressure to play so well that, you know, he wants to be marketable, he wants to get out of there as soon as possible, or will Vancouver for some reason now change their mind if he somehow pulls off five straight wins or something, or a few shutouts in a row? I kind of would like to be in their position, having two standout goalies to more or less have to pick and choose who's going to play what night. You know, it's a dream position for a coach.
Absolutely. And now that they're not sure about Schneider, and Schneider's not in a good place, Longo's probably going to be there a little bit longer. But that doesn't mean that when it rolls around to playoff time that they won't make the move. They may take the chance when that time arrives, you know, when they get their chance with making the playoffs, and maybe Schneider will calm down and be the kind of goalie they want them to be. Moving on now, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be right back. Okay, John?
All right.
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it!
You're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show on Blog Talk Radio. I've got an invitation for you. You ever been to a game with a bunch of rowdy people who push the envelope of decorum at the Rogers Center? Well, I open an invitation to you to join the Argo Lifers. That's right, Section 134. Call the Argos. Tell them we sent you. Could mean something interesting for you. Okay? You got that? Section 134. Call the CFL's Toronto Argonauts and join us, the Argo Lifers, where mayhem is fun. And by mayhem, I mean standing and screaming on defense, sitting with your hands on your lap in offense. Let Ricky do his job and let the defense do theirs. Be a part of the winning team. Section 134. Let the Argos know. Okay, the phone number here to call as well is 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. We also have a chat line that you can chat with us. You log in to the Blog Talk Radio, where our player is there, and you can type in and talk to us that way. And then there is, as we said earlier, the Skype way. But then also you can do it with Facebook. And, you know, I should maybe bring that up so that I can see in case somebody's trying to get through to us. They might think I'm ignoring them. Don't you hate it when somebody ignores you? Speaking of ignoring, everybody's ignoring the fact that Bargnani has not played for a long time. Everybody's probably not happy. A lot of people, I got to believe a lot of Raptor fans are not happy with Ocho Cinco being gone. No, Calderon being gone. And he has gone to Detroit in a three-way trade. And of course, he is one of the best players over the past few years that the Raptors have had. And they gave him up for a kid, Rudy Gay, who's supposed to be, hopefully, a big-time player. You know, he just was drowning on a team that had too many go-to guys. But there's a lot of feeling that he had a good start in his career, and then once he started playing with better guys and he wasn't the go-to guy, he kind of fell off a little bit. John, as far as you're concerned with the Raptors, are you happy with the history of the Raptors and how they've done over the years?
Well, Frank, if they haven't made the playoffs in, what, over a decade, or it's a decade now, no one can be happy as a fan if you're a Raptors fan. But I like this move that I think a lot of people kind of had questions about because they're close ties with Calderon. But if tonight is any sign of if this trade was a good idea, they really, really showed it tonight. 98-73 over the L.A. Clippers. Okay, so, and they were the underdog tonight in this game, and outright bet the point spread, and double-digit win against the Clippers. It could be just the, you know, the new chemistry vibe, hype in the locker room, but they played with an extra jump tonight, so I'm loving it.
Well, you know what?
And Frank,
did you have them cover?
You know, I stayed away from the game because I wasn't sure, depending on, you know, when there's a trade made, it could be a downer for the team, and considering Calderon, you know, was with the team for, I think, 8 years, I thought maybe it wasn't going to be as favorable to Toronto as it turned out being, but I just didn't want to touch the game. I didn't want to touch the game, but I'm just happy they won. I mean, it's a happy day in Raptorland, especially for the GM.
Absolutely, and the coach. And the coach, because Rudy Gay is buying into the system. He wants to be a hard-working player. And you know what? That is what's lacking. Well, it's not lacking. There are a lot of players that are hard-working players in the Raptors, but, you know, a team is like a chain. It's only as strong as its weakest link. So, you know, they've done a good job in bringing a guy in that they feel his upside is really good. And you know what? If tonight was any indication, they're probably right. You know, I think Brian Colangelo could use a break. You know, that poor guy has done so many deals and that looked really good, and just for whatever reason, they haven't gone well for him. So maybe this is one time where he might actually get what he was going after. So that's the hope if you're a Raptor fan. Now, Major League Baseball, my favorite subject. I don't like them.
Frank,
I don't.
You're teasing me. You're teasing me, Frank.
Why are you doing this on purpose?
Oh, because you're teasing the heck out of me. We keep talking about all these good stories or all about these good headlines, and you know I'm bursting because you got a whole bunch of Argo Bolt logo fans who are tuned in right now, and I got my messages going off saying, what's the news? What's the news? I got about 10 Facebook messages right now, private sent to me. When are you guys going to talk about it? Come on. So, you know
what
Frank?
Is something special happening? Is there something going on?
Cut. Just a little touch. Just a little touch. What I brought up earlier about.
Oh, of course. Let me break the news myself. In the next little while, we're going to have Angelo Mosca, hopefully, on the show. And
yay!
It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Well, you know what? We've got some ex-CFLers. We're trying to line them up to get them on the show to give you fans of the CFL out there an opportunity to talk to. In fact, next Wednesday we're going to start. Hopefully he'll be able to make it. We've got an agreement in place. There's nothing. We're hoping it works out. But Robert Drummond, four Grey Cups. Four
nice.
Grey Cups. He's going to be on the show. You're going to get a chance
nice.
To talk to Robert Drummond. This guy was a gazelle. You know, he played for the Philadelphia Eagles for a little while. And, of course, he played right here in Toronto. So, you know, he's one of our guys. Now, while we're talking about the Argos, anything special happening in Argoland? Did you just faint? John, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, Frank. We were cut off for a second there. There was some sort of interference.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear your last question. Sorry.
Well, my last question was, anything happening in Argoland?
Well, okay, Frank, here it is. All right. This is what I've posted on the Toronto Argonauts Bolt logo page, which George Backus, a good friend of mine that I met through the Argonaut Facebook page last year. We got to be friends because we started talking about the boat logo and the logo itself, because last year the Argonauts were announcing that on May 1st they're releasing a new design, and the CFL was releasing all the new jerseys. And George suggested and came up with the idea to start up a Facebook page to kind of give Bolt logo fans a chance to more or less kind of say that they still like the image, they still like the logo, and just to see what kind of interest we're going to get out of it. So, because I wasn't kind of a techie guy and I just got on Facebook early last year, I told George, listen, if you start it up, I'm going to give all the content, I'll provide all the material. We even hired a photographer for the Bolt logo page who did a great job this past season. His name was Doug Lewis. I suggest you guys look him up. He does great work. We had him follow us throughout the whole season with the Bolt logo image, and just to show other fans who wear this jersey that there's a passion and identity with this image, because it is a Bolt logo and we're referred to as the Boatmen. So, Frank, what I'm about to say here is this, is that I've been on a journey, and sort of like a journey, I would say, in the last 10 years, but on a mission, more aggressive mission in the last 2.5-3 years, when I approached Bob Nicholson, who was the president at the time of the Toronto Argonauts, with the idea of, you know, listen, this is the time, if you guys are going to redo the design, you have to kind of think about bringing the logo that I end up getting a lot of people approaching me, because I wear it on my jersey with patches in other stadiums around the country, always telling me, well, how come they never bring that logo back? I love that logo. You know, I couldn't just tell you how many people over the years have more or less expressed to me, because I kind of wear it pretty obvious on my jersey. And they've commented how much they liked it. And I thought to myself, I got to relay this to the Argos in some way. I have to let them know that, you know, if they're not getting people calling in or asking to see why don't they bring it back, and maybe I should kind of let them know my experiences. And Bob, unfortunately, resigned early last year, and I was introduced to some other management in the Argo office, and I told them about the Argo Lifer section I like to start up, which Laurie Bursey helped me more or less introduce Daniel Steinfeld, who took charge of it, and introduced me to starting up the Argo section, Argo Lifer section. With that, I also told them that I'm going to be more or less pretty aggressive in trying to let the Toronto fans know about the boat logo image. And we thought perhaps May 1st, last year's launch, would be that time that we could more or less express the fact that we understand they hired a marketing firm, and we understand their surveys and all the fan input that they got over the years. And I perfectly understand the Toronto Argonauts' point of view, where they didn't want to go through another decade with three logo changes like we went through in the 90s, okay? So I get that. But I also feel that the Bolt logo from the 80s and really was in the late 70s and during the 80s that was the best image for this franchise. And so I felt pretty strong about proving my point, how passionate I was. Now, Frank, as you know, I'm not a tattoo guy. I have nothing against them. And I thought to myself, what better way to show them my passion by actually getting a Bolt logo tattoo on my forearm with Our Goal for Life underneath it and Faith on top to show them my true passion and my dedication to what I think is right for this franchise and the image that they should carry on. And I thought if I have it on my arm all the time, I don't have to wear the jersey, the hat. I could just pull it out, you know, in a good way, and show them my colors, okay? And it's been a great investment for me. I'm so proud of it. You know, I've gotten so many compliments on it, which, believe it or not, Scott Finley and my nephew Adam also got the Bolt logo tattoos this past spring. We got it before the season started. And it's been such a great experience this whole year, besides the Grey Cup, which was unbelievable. But all the people that we met that actually have a true connection to this Bolt logo, and not just the old fans who remember it, but I'm talking about the new generation. You know, I don't understand how many teenagers have come up and said, when did that Bolt logo, when was that around? Like, because they've never brought it back once. You know what they did bring back? They brought back the blue football Bolt logo. They put it on the middle of the field, which Randy Christinger and the Wolfpack gang put on the field. I think it was the mid, I think it was 2005, 2006 season. But it's not the right logo.
I was just going to say it's not the one that you see in the rafters.
It's not the one that we see in the rafters, and that pigskin colored logo is the standout. I mean, it identifies. It's our colors of double blue stand out around that image. And again, it's the perfect design. It's not full of detail with sails and ropes and all that kind of stuff, and it's the right color. So, Frank, here I'm about to say this. Like I told you before, this has been a mission of mine, and I've had a lot of good friends like George who've helped me along with this, and same with Jamie and a couple of few people that you know who you guys are who've been really passionate about this. And just before the Grey Cup on Saturday, we were at the convention downtown having a nice party in the convention hall and during the Argo Bash. And I met somebody, a senior executive, who more or less approached me and kind of blew my mind when he said, mission accomplished, more or less, that the 1983 champions who wore that jersey with the Bolt logo jersey are being honored this year. They're having an anniversary date for honoring the 1983 champions, and they're bringing back the jersey as a third jersey for this year. So it is unbelievable news when, you know, I've been told over the last 10 years, never going to happen. It's too many problems with licensing, ownership over the logo, you know, on and on and on and on. And then it was the marketing didn't think it was the right thing and all that stuff. So just to give it an opportunity to let the fans see it and be able to buy a jersey or a flag or anything else that really basically is the only true identity to this franchise is the boat. We've had a boat logo since 140 years ago when this franchise was created. They had a boat logo image. It was a heavy boat logo image with a lot of sails. Remember, we're talking about the artist back then. It was detailed, and it's been defined and fine-tuned over the years, but it really hit the spot when they had it in the 80s, and in the late 70s and during the 80s. So I've always been backing every merchandising logo that the Argos come up with. If I was so angry with the change back in the 80s, I would have probably been pushing this maybe 20 years ago. But
I hear you. John, let's take a breath. Let's take a breath or a break, whichever, and we'll be right back in a minute and a bit. Okay, buddy?
Good stuff. All right.
Do you want to be heard? Disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it!
You're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show on Blog Talk Radio. I've got an invitation for you. You ever been to a game with a bunch of rowdy people who push the envelope of decorum at the Rogers Center? Well, I open an invitation to you to join the Argo Lifers. That's right, Section 134. Call the Argos. Tell them we sent you. Could mean something interesting for you. Okay, you got that? Section 134. Call the CFL's Toronto Argonauts and join us, the Argo Lifers, where mayhem is fun. And by mayhem, I mean standing and screaming on defense, sitting with your hands on your lap in offense. Let Ricky do his job, and let the defense do theirs. Be a part of the winning team. Section 134. Let the Argos know. And definitely let them know. The number here is 714-242-5250. 714-242-5250. You can also enter our chat room, which is connected to the player. And all you have to do is log in, and then you can make a comment on the chat room wall. Jamie was on there the other day, and I wasn't paying attention. He said, "Frank, I was talking to you for like a mile a minute, and you weren't listening. You weren't looking." So I'm looking today. Where are you, Jamie? Okay, John, I'm sorry to have been so rude to stop you there for a second. We were talking about the boat logo. We're talking about a logo that has, for anyone who hasn't seen it, I doubt anyone who has seen it doesn't know the logo we're talking about. It's amazing that boat logo is this as old as we're talking about. It really hasn't lost its appeal when you look at it, especially for the younger folks. It's very new fan friendly. Wouldn't you agree?
Frank, you hit it on the nail there. I'll give you a little tiny story, and I'm not going to try to carry it too long, on a little survey that me and my wife did last year where we asked a few kids that were playing hockey in our neighborhood. Stop them, ask them if they can identify these two images that we have. And, you know, it's kind of weird asking a whole bunch of kids playing hockey, but I just wanted to get the impression and kind of get the right feel. Are the Argos right? Or is the CFL right? Is this the only image that they will identify with the Argonauts? Well, unfortunately, when I held up the Argo A logo, the response I got was Arizona, and the girl that was playing in net said, "Well, that reminds me of what my mom and dad say I never get." And it didn't hit me right off the bat, but, of course, it was the grade A in school. So right away it was a negative, image as far as that A alone it stands. Now, I was really more saddened at the fact that not one kid could identify it with the Argonauts. But when I put that one down and held up the boat logo image, now I didn't get the Argonauts again. But what I did was I got two kids that saying, "Well, it's got something to do with football," because they see the football in the logo. And then, 5 minutes afterwards, they kind of figured it out, and one kid yelled out, "It's probably the Argos, isn't it?" And I said, "That's right." So because I think he put together with the image that he saw with the previous A, and when they saw the boat, they figured it was football and the A. Well, there you go. It's the Argonauts. But what that did to me was it just kind of reinforced that the younger crowd has a harder time having identity. They basically have to be introduced through the marketing, through the TV. It can't be done by buying merchandise or whatever because, you're limited to a letter A. You really are. But when you have a logo as an image of a boat and a sail, it just creates a marketing avenue that you can take where it'll be productive. I mean, O'Keefe was productive with it in the 80s. I just never understood when they had the licensing right why they didn't progress with it. But you know what? It's water underneath the bridge. If these confirmations by these three senior executives are going to happen, which I'm confident they are, it's a great thing, and it's a great thing that the Toronto Argonauts and the management are willing to do this right now and take a chance and do it. I just love it. I love it. I love it. It's great news. So we're going to be able to get Argo boat logo flags, hopefully jerseys. But the one thing, Frank, I'm a little bit concerned about, is that they don't make the mistake and bring it back without its full image. You know, they might redesign the stripes on the sleeve or whatever, but I just don't want to see this image that is going to be tampered with, the actual Bolt logo image, meaning the changing the football to a blue from a pigskin brown. Okay, we don't throw around blue footballs in stadiums. It's you know, it's the
pigskin brown football.
We do if they're Smurfs.
Hey,
yeah.
John.
Well,
John,
you know,
take another breath, and we'll let somebody else. We'll let somebody else suck some air here. Jamie,
good.
Buddy, how's it going? Jamie, are you there?
Pretty good.
Are you
can
there?
You guys hear
are
me?
You there? Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey. That's pretty good news, John. Way to go. That was a lot of hard work that you put in there.
Thanks,
Jamie,
man.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go. I just wanted to thank Jamie. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Jamie a question. Now, Jamie, what's your draw to the Bolt logo? I know you like it as well.
I like it. That was the first logo I ever saw on the team, right?
Yeah, and what quarterback wore that logo?
Oh, Conrad Holloway.
So
can I ask Jamie a question?
Go for it.
Can I ask Jamie a question? Jamie, why don't you go remind all the Argo fans and CFL fans out there who are listening tonight what logo do you have on your arm tattoo that you got last year? And then you, by letting them know that, you will hear from an actual fan who is a present fan of this logo that we have that he also has a deep passion for the Bolt logo. And it's not just because of, you know, him growing up with it, like he said, but I think also, Jamie, like you told me before, it means boatman.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's a logo that I think most people recognize, you know, right across the CFL. It's not just here, right? It's anywhere you go, whether it's Winnipeg or Saskatchewan, BC, Edmonton, Calgary. It doesn't matter where you go. Everyone recognizes that logo, right? But I have the A. I do have the A with the shield. I like the logo. But, you know, I also like the Bolt logo. So it's not, you know... the A has always been part of the uniform at some point, right? Whether it's on the helmet or not. So, and they are the Argonauts. But the Bolt logo is, you know, the logo that was there for a long time. And you know what? I think most people recognize it right across the CFL.
Well, it is. It does basically define the team. As if I can pick up where John was talking, when you do look at the A, I have a lot of fond memories. You know, Dick Shadow wearing the A. The A is a wonderful, it's a wonderful historical part of the Argonauts. The unfortunate thing is that you've got a couple of logos that came to the team, and there's a history attached to each one. You know, by definition, the A is something that goes back to the 70s and, you know, in those days. While the Bolt logo is the 80s, and it has more of a definitive look as far as the boatmen are concerned, because it speaks to the boatmen far clearer than the A does. That's not taking anything away from what the A means to Argonaut fans. Like, for example, Lauren Bercy that we had on a while back.
Yeah, she's a big fan of the A, too. Frank, as I stated before, the A has always been there, and the Bolt has always been there. 140 years ago, it was created with the A and with the boat. And sure, that first boat needed a lot of fine-tuning. It was too many details in it. But, you know, the A also came up, I think, in that era because, remember, the marketing firms, design firms, they didn't have materials and jersey companies that stitched this design on. They were simplistic. Let's get the letters on there. They know who they are. I mean, you know, at some point, I think just about every single team almost had a letter in the CFL. We still do. The only one that I can't think that doesn't have a letter that's really attached to is, I guess, the Ticats. They don't really show the TC. But, Frank, as Jamie said, you know, it's identified with a lot of fans. I think there's a new generation that have never seen it that will hook onto it. I know because I see them when they, you know, see me and meet me, and I show them the Bolt logo tattoo, and their big question was, is really, is that new, or was that around before? So they've never seen this logo before. The marketing opportunity is there, you know, and I really think if they do it right and bring back the pigskin-colored 1983 championship Argonauts that wore it that year, if they bring it back in that color form, I think it'll be a good thing, and I think they're going to be happy when they see the financial aspect of it, how many merchandise items they can sell on it. You know, Frank, I'm going to be buying a lot of stuff, and I know my family members are.
I think you alone will float the boat, if you will.
Ooh, you better believe it. I'm going to open up my own shop probably out of it.
He'll definitely float the boat, that's for sure. We're running down. Jamie, I'll give you 30 seconds to conclude your opinion on what we're talking about.
Well, it's pretty exciting news. I've known John this past year. I've had a great opportunity to be able to sit in Section 134B in the supporter section. I got introduced to John through the Admirals. We had an opportunity to sit there, and John gave me the opportunity to be as loud as I wanted to be, which was fantastic. And, you know, since then we've grown and became good friends, and we spent a lot of time together during the Grey Cup and the week leading up to the Grey Cup. We had a great time, and I got to tell you, you know, the guys worked hard to get this logo back. You know, when he works at something, oh boy, you know, you better watch out, because look what's happened. It's coming back. I'm excited. I, too, will be buying some boat logo merchandise. So, you know, let's go. Section 134B, supporter section. It's loud and crazy. Have a great time. And thanks, Frank. Thanks,
you're
John.
You're welcome. John, your last minute. Go ahead, buddy.
Let's go, Argos!
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Okay, John,
Frank,
30
thanks
seconds,
so much.
Buddy.
Thank you so much, Frank, for giving me the opportunity to kind of spread the good news to the Bolt logo fans. And you can check out all the year that we had this past year on the Bolt logo page. If you go to the Facebook page, the Toronto Argonauts Bolt logo page, like us and enjoy us and be part of what's coming back, guys. It's coming back, and I can't wait. I'm waiting for the official release, hopefully soon after the schedule released. I can't wait, Frank. Thanks again, Frank. Thanks, Jamie.
My pleasure, my man. And listen, enjoy the moment. And when it actually happens, I'm sure you'll be central to what's happening. Thanks, John, for being on.
Good night, Cleveland.
Well, you've listened to another episode of Candid Live, Candid Frank Live, Candid Frank and Live. I always enjoy when people who really care about something, who back something, have something good happen. The only thing that I can imagine more enjoyable for me is to watch Leaf fans line up on Bay Street with their team carrying the Stanley Cup. But for now, all we're going to have to think about, of course, and realistically, is the Grey Cup that the Argos won. And this year will be the boat logo. And that is an important step forward for the Toronto Argonauts and, of course, Toronto football fans. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, Robert Drummond and, of course, Angela Mosca in the coming weeks. Give us a call then to talk to your favorite football player.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.